Welcome to Cinema Savants, your weekly dose of movie news, movie reviews, and the occasional rumor, with your hosts, Todd Vandenberg and Rob Steele. And coming up in this week's show, I actually called Marvel Comics for an important scoop. There might be a live-action Star Wars TV show that's long been rumored, but might be happening now. And let's see who's been added to the sexual assault list this week, because that always sounds like a fun subject. But first, something that has the potential to be awesome. Monday, it was reported that Disney is having talks to purchase 20th Century Fox, which means Marvel would get the X-Men back. They'd get the Fantastic Four back. They'd get Avatar, which makes sense because Disney's already building an Avatar-based theme park. And then Tuesday, it's dead. But Wednesday, it's back. And Thursday, it's dead. Make up your minds. And quite frankly, I'd love to see them get this done.
It would be lovely. It would be amazing. Yeah, last I've read, same thing, that it's no one has put their pencils down was the phrase that was used, which is, okay, that's interesting that they're using pencils so they can erase details and change them. Yeah. A story on a website, which I will not name because I don't really want to embarrass the particular website or the particular author, said that this means that, oh my gosh, there could be Deadpool could team up with the Fantastic Four. And it's like, those are Fox properties.
They can do that anyway.
Yeah, they can do that now. Disney does not have to purchase Fox for that to happen. So, no. Nice try, but...
Valiant effort, and yet...
Not so valiant effort, because frankly, I don't really want to see Deadpool and Mr. Fantastic hang out, because...
No.
There's no meshing, no matter how cool and flip and slick they try to make the Fantastic Four, because they never were that, and they're not going to be that, and it doesn't work at all.
Because you brought up Deadpool, which I think is... almost a sticking point, because a lot of people don't want to see a PG Deadpool. So if Disney gets Fox, and you kind of have to keep Deadpool at an R rating at least, does this mean we finally get an adult division of Disney films for R-rated stuff? I mean, do you think they would do that?
I don't know if they would have created an R-rated division. Just for Deadpool, but I can definitely see them.
Well, not just for Deadpool, but, you know.
Right, to branch out and go with other things.
Because I'd get Alien, too. And we've seen how good PG Alien movies do.
Right. I can't see that they would shy away from what really needs to happen with that character. It just doesn't make any sense.
No.
I'm just looking through Touchstone, which, of course, was a division. Touchstone released a lot of R-rated films. Nothing ever came out under the Disney line, but of course it's not going to be under the Disney line anyway. No. It's going to be under the Marvel line. So I don't think there would be any problem with that. I don't think they're going to look at $700 million box office and say, let's tone it down for our image. No one thinks of it as a Disney film anyway, or would. So,
well, yeah, I think there are people who do, but they really shouldn't.
I'm
going to take my 6-year-old to see Deadpool because he loves the character in the comic book. No.
Exactly like the lady who sat two rows in front of me when I saw Deadpool with her probably 6-year-old and her 10-year-old. No. But,
didn't they make a movie out of her called Bad Moms? Is that what that was?
I believe they did. And yeah, she definitely earned her starring role. But yeah, there's no way they would say, oh, no, we need this needs to be PG. That's not going to happen because Deadpool 2 will be out before this merger happens, or before it comes under the aegis of Disney, and it's going to be R-rated and it's going to be a huge success and blah, blah, blah. So no, they're not going to toss away a $1 billion franchise because that's what Deadpool will be by that time.
Quite easily, I think. I don't know if you caught this. This is not the only big merger this week. And it's nowhere near as movie related, but Transformers and G.I. Joe and Battleship, for some reason, are included in this. Hasbro is trying to buy Mattel, which I think could have some, you know, crossover material for movies and stuff. Although, and this is, a teasing picture that someone has combined their logos and they now call them Hazmat, which quite frankly is what they should call themselves if they actually get this far. But you know, even this also has movie and Hollywood implications to it. And this definitely does. Right up there with the bankruptcy of Toys R Us just before Christmas. Brilliant.
They could be Hazmat or Brotel, which two different divisions in different types of films.
It's got to be Hazmat. But yeah, Brotel.
Hazmat's work. Excellent.
Brotel sounds like it's something you would get at a restaurant. You know, I'll have the Brotel, you know, or something. That sounds like a food.
Sautéed. I'd prefer it sautéed.
Sautéed Brotel?
Sautéed Brotel.
As long as you don't have to call Hazmat afterwards, I suppose it'll be okay. I love the idea of the merger of actually either of these. I don't care as much about Hazmat, but the Disney Fox thing I think would be brilliant. Yeah. And, even if it means that they would take worst case scenario for Deadpool fans, if they did decide to tone it down and make it PG, you know what? I don't care as long as we get the X-Men and the Fantastic Four back in the original Marvel Universe.
Well, they would only take it down to PG-13. They wouldn't go all the way to PG anyway, so that's not that terrible. But one of the other lovely possibilities, besides finally fixing the Marvel Universe, which would be great, is Star Wars and Aliens.
Ooh. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, there was this thing that had a bigger thing with a thing that stuck its mouth out of its own mouth.
And that could be fun.
That would be very cool. It'd probably be terrible.
It'd probably be terrible, but they could do some really amazing work with it. You know, again, a standalone film, because they're making lots of the standalone films. And
right.
Gee, what was Darth Vader doing all that time? Wouldn't it be fun to see Darth Vader fight aliens? I think that would be a lovely thing, and predators indeed. So can be very, very cool. So there are so many awesome possibilities with this merger. It really needs to happen. So write your congressman and say, approve this. like they care.
Like the congressman. I think this is one of the few things they don't have anything to do with.
Yeah. I don't think anybody cares if there's a monopoly in film.
Not anymore. No. I mean, it was Hollywood for generic Hollywood for years. Now it's branched out, and this would be fine.
Something be quite lovely.
That wasn't quite as fine. We wanted it to. I think I wanted it to be fine. I think you wanted it to be fine.
I wanted it to be excellent. And,
that was a movie I watched this week with one of my daughters called Valerian and the Film of a Bajillion Visual Effects, or something like that. Another Luke Besson film, and I think the main thing that I thought of going into this was he did The Fifth Element, which was a really bizarre, odd, off-the-wall sci-fi film that was excellent. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I was hoping, really hoping, that this would be not necessarily a direct sequel, but fun enough that we would consider it in the same category.
Mm-hmm.
And yet. Let's see, our main characters, Special Agent Major Valerian, played by Dane DeHaan, and my daughter came up with this because we spent the whole movie going, he reminds me of someone. He's a bizarre cross between Keanu Reeves and the evil Flash from season 3. Through the whole movie, and there's very little emotional attachment that you can put with this character. Because he just doesn't, he's so bland. But he's not the worst character. There's also Special Agent Sergeant Laureline, played by Cara, is it Delevingne?
I think. Sure.
We'll go with that. Who, and I'm going to quote my daughter on this, is an utter bitch through most of the movie. And I'll agree, there is no... At no point in this movie do I even come close to liking this character. And she's one of the main ones. She looks constantly pissed through the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take that as either angry or drunk. I'm not sure which. Unk. I guess. I don't know.
Unk. She's Unk.
But again, not the worst character we get in the movie. And I like this guy that I'm talking about, who's the worst. Clive Owen, who I started liking when he was doing the BMW films. And I don't know if... Do you remember the BMW films?
Yeah, I do remember the BMW films.
If you don't, look them up. They're... I thought they were fun. He was the driver. Yeah. And he needs to be back in that, because you know how we say when a character isn't that good, we call them a one-dimensional character? This one is a half-dimensional character. he's not even that good. Two people that did good in the movie, Rihanna, oddly enough, plays a shapeshifter called Bubble. And
Bubble? Okay.
Bubble. I wasn't expecting it, but you know what? It works. And Herbie Hancock I've never seen him in a movie before that I can recall.
I've never heard of him in a film.
Plays a defense minister who is kind of a recurring role, and there's not a whole lot there, but it's cool to see Herbie Hancock on film.
You're telling me he is not the minister of funk? I am shocked, sir.
There are other characters with similar names. Give me a moment. I shall get to a few. Rutger Hauer has a cameo. He's wasted at the very beginning explaining some of the movie, although the beginning of the movie was actually cool because it starts about 12 years ago with, here's a space station around Earth, and then 10 years later we added more to it and more to it and more to it as decades tick off, and eventually it's too big for Earth and we have to send it off, and that becomes the Alpha City. Alpha Project, something that becomes the City of 1,000 Planets. That's where it came from. It's a nice origin story that's just going on through the credits and introduces us to several of the alien species that we meet throughout the movie.
Well, so far, this sounds fun.
It is an hour and 45 minutes into the movie before we finally get what the plot is.
Okay. There's a problem there.
I think so. Which, and before that, it's really vague. We have to get this small lizard that if it eats anything, it'll reproduce it in mass quantities. We have to get this lizard from to point B. Well, where the hell is point B? Where was point A? How did you get the lizard? Those parts are never really explained. Which is disappointing. I guess just to sum up-ish, was this The Fifth Element 2? No, it wasn't. It was just not as good. I didn't care for any of the characters, except there was one character I did care for, and this is the first time I've ever said this out loud. Rihanna's character of Bubble. It's the first time I have ever cared. It's not that I have anything against Rihanna. Her music is not my thing. I've seen her in other movies and gone, ooh, look how bland she is. I liked her in this. The character of Bubble is really good. I will tell you this, spoiler, don't get too attached.
All right. Alrighty then.
Yeah. The thing is, it had a very predictable plot. It wasn't as fun. Parts of it were beautiful, but it was not as pretty as The Fifth Element, which is now, what, 20 years old?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's about... The good parts of Valerian are about on par with The Fifth Element, which The Fifth Element had, you know, beyond state-of-the-art graphics for its time.
Oh, yeah. And like you said, it still holds up today.
Yeah, it does. Except, in my mind, for the... And I believe they were called the Mangalores, who were the Jim Henson Muppet-ish characters, who looked... to me, Muppet-ish. But you know what? High-quality Muppet-ish, so that's fine. This time around in Valerian, it's not Henson and Muppet people. It's very pale Avatar people with no hair-tail thingies. You know what? That's still not too bad.
No.
Overall, is it worth the watch? Let me explain this to you by using the rating systems of IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes, and the Rotten Tomatoes audience score. The Fifth Element got a 7.7, a 72, and an 86 on those. Valerian got a 6.6, 49, and 56. And you know what? That's about right. So if you liked The Fifth Element, you will like Valerian just this much less. See?
So it should have done much better.
It should have.
At the box office, from what you're saying, which... No, well,
I don't think The Fifth Element did that great at the box office.
Oh, no.
But it became a huge, slightly beyond cult movie, I think. And I see Valerian falling into about the same category. When it hits TV, people are going to watch this and go, why didn't I go see this in theaters? Which I think is what they did with Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah. Which is what people do with an awful lot of films. That happens.
I mean, there were Fifth Element 2 aspects. Like, there was a music, an inexplicable musical number about halfway through, done by Rihanna. And here's someone who fell off the map. Ethan Hawke, who has a character in this named Jolly the Pimp. I didn't name him. Don't look at me like that. It's, I think Ethan Hawke was wasted. Not as much as Rutger Hauer, who was there for about, that long. I wanted it to be better, but at the same time, it's not unwatchable like most of the other movies Rihanna's in. If you're interested in watching a good special effects thing, this'll do. Just try to ignore the Lexus logo that's on the smaller rocket ship. Because they did a commercial. Do you remember the commercial they did when they, Lexus, and they glaringly put this Lexus logo on the, because there's a small part of the movie where they're doing a spaceship chase. The big ship won't fit. I'll take the little ship, and off they go with the little ship, and it's got a Lexus logo on it. And I went, they couldn't have put that in the, it's in the movie. You know, it's not as glaring, but it's still there.
But it's still there. And what are you going to do?
Product placement. Yeah, okay, go ahead. They got to make some money somewhere because they didn't do it at the box office.
Yeah, hopefully they get paid $150 million for that product placement.
Alone.
Because that's about what it would take, yeah.
Absolutely.
How sad. I also watched a film this week.
I heard you went to see a movie. It had initials in it or something. Movie.
It did have initials in it. It's L and a B and a J, and it's not doesn't stand for a long bad sexual act. Yes, it is about the 36th president of the United States. Stars Woody Harrelson, a Texan, a Democrat. So I would tend to think this was probably a project he was looking forward to for a long time. Rob Reiner directs. Rob Reiner's done some excellent films.
Absolutely.
I don't think this is an excellent film though. It's a good movie. They did some heavy makeup and prostheses to try to make Woody look more like LBJ, which didn't really come off that well. Basically, he still just looks like Woody Harrelson with odd makeup, so I kind of wish they had not even bothered with that. What's really weird to me is that LBJ had very specific mannerisms. For one, he squinted a hell of a lot, probably from living in West Texas all his life, that's my guess, except that half of his life, practically, he lived in Washington, too, because he was there forever, and had a very thick Texas twang. And oddly enough, Woody Harrelson, I mean, he sounds like he's from Texas, but it's not very heavy. And my thought is they probably moved away from it because they didn't want him to imitate Johnson's. They didn't want him to turn into a caricature. But oddly enough, HBO had a film which came out earlier this year called All the Way, which is also about LBJ, which stars Bryan Cranston, who not only looks more like Johnson, but he sounds more like Johnson and acts more like Johnson. So it kind of an odd thing. LBJ, the theatrical release, goes back and forth between the time when Johnson was first asked to run, or when he was running against, I should say, Kennedy for the nomination, and then when he became his vice president, and then Dealey Plaza, Dallas. And if you're not sure what happened, just Google that. And so there are some very heavy emotional moments in the film because they portray that particular time, which have nothing to do with the performances or the direction or anything. I mean, basically, you're portraying an assassination of a president, and it's going to be pretty heavy going for those who were around for that point, or those who just are maybe susceptible to terrible acts. So those are the strongest emotional moments, and has nothing to do with the film itself. with how well it's crafted or anything. I think it kind of suffers from the fact that it jumps back and forth between the two time frames. I mean, it's interesting, but it makes it a little more disjointed. It does deal mainly with Johnson working to get the I was attacked with something, yes. But it does deal with his work on that passage of that bill. Whereas the All the Way film opens with the sound of gunshots. Doesn't show anything, just opens with the sound of gunshots. And then you jump forward into the time. I mean, immediately you start with the time he's president. So it doesn't go into the interplay between Kennedy and Johnson. And in the All the Way film, the interplay is much more between Johnson and, who's again played by Bryan Cranston, and Anthony Mackie plays Martin Luther King, and he's excellent in it. Anthony Mackie's awesome in everything. And then Stephen Root, of all people, Stephen Root usually plays comic characters. He plays the former head of the FBI and the guy who was the FBI for decades, literally J. Edgar Hoover. So he plays a prominent role in this. I actually liked All the Way better than LBJ. LBJ, honestly, I would not rush to the theater to see it. It'll be streaming at some point in the next couple of months, and it's definitely worth a watch. But of the two, if you're going to watch a movie about LBJ, watch All the Way. It was based on a play that Bryan Cranston won a Tony for, and everything I read, he's probably practically a lock to win an Emmy for this. And it's the better performance, which doesn't surprise me that Bryan Cranston would pull off a great performance because he's excellent. But I was surprised that Woody Harrelson didn't give a better turn as LBJ. And again, it's all his direction. But he just didn't seem that authentic. He seemed much more like, hey, it's Woody Harrelson playing LBJ, as opposed to really inhabiting the character. So LBJ, it's worth it when it winds up streaming, but definitely catch All the Way right now. And right now, I believe it's still on HBO, so that's the only way to get it. But All the Way, watch that one first. And then if you feel like an extra dose of LBJ, the smiling, smirking, very, very, very vulgar, which I find to be funny, cursing president, a lot of it in both films, because he did. Didn't watch LBJ.
Well, there we go. Actually, I wanted to ask you this, too. At the beginning of your movie, did you get any new trailers with yours? Because
my movie,
LBJ.
Yeah, I know. Let's see, what new trailers did I see? I didn't see any trailers. There were a couple new trailers, but nothing that was really that noteworthy.
Yeah, there's I haven't seen any that are coming out, but I do have news.
Excellent.
He says, segueing, the video game movie Rampage, being led by The Rock, is supposed to come out with Justice League, the trailer for it. So
that's pretty high profile.
That's what, next week, isn't it?
Finally. Yep.
Then there are some reviews. We'll get to that later. The news that I was really looking forward to, and I'm going to be disappointed to even read this, and you'll be disappointed to hear it. The Incredibles sequel. There's a trailer. It has been rated, and it's exactly it's not exactly. It's about 1 minute long, and it will debut in June.
Wow.
I'm like, look, if you guys have it done, put it.
Yeah, really?
Why are you sitting on this? Get it going again, because there's a lot of people who have waited a long time.
Why wouldn't you attach it to the Star Wars movie that's coming out?
I don't know. They didn't say. That would make
perfect sense because it's the same studio. It doesn't even require a merger. Oh my gosh.
But there's Star Wars news too, of course.
There is Star Wars news.
Quite a bit of it, really. The first thing comes out of the Last of the Jedi movie, and people are wondering, where the hell was Luke for the past 30 years? And the answer is, we don't know. They're going to blow it off. Just, who cares where Luke was? my thought was, you know, if you guys had followed the books that were out there for years, we'd know where Luke was, and we could have Coran Horn and Mara Jade Skywalker show up at some point in these movies. But no, you blew it off. Fine, be that way. Makes me grumpy a bit. But
which, you know, they can always go back, as long depending on what exactly they do in The Last Jedi, they can always go back and do a standalone.
They can.
And then and then cover it. Just depends.
I suspect
they're going to write a book. Address it.
Yeah.
But probably.
Anyway, Rian Johnson, who is directing the new Star Wars movie, is also going to be developing a new Star Wars trilogy.
I'm excited about. Which really? Most people are excited about, I'm sure.
Okay.
Well, the thing that excites me about it is that the Skywalkers will not be in it.
Yay.
I mean, I like the story of Luke and Daddy and the daddy issues, therefore, that ensue, and then possible granddaughter son issues, whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll find out eventually. But there are other entities in the universe, and it would be kind of nice to get away from this particular family, I think, regardless of how important and powerful they are. So it's about time, I think, that they've finished this story.
Can stop watching the Kardashians. No, that's Star Trek.
And move on to the next thing. The other thing that makes me really interested about this is that, okay, if you're moving away from the Skywalker story, are we actually bringing the Skywalker saga to a close in this trilogy?
All of them will be dead by episode 9. Definite.
Maybe. But I would like to see them actually finish it, the story, instead of... I don't want it open-ended. I want some definitive answer. I'm not saying they should kill them all off, although that'd be okay too. But
just tie up all the storyline and let it go.
Yeah, as I said in our email, it's like Luke turns into, you know, the ghostly Jedi, which, because they all will eventually.
Yeah.
And then Daisy hooks up with the crybaby, wannabe Darth Vader, in a murder-suicide pact, and that's the end of the show. That would make me happy.
There we go.
I would enjoy that.
Maybe they could do that in the long gestating Star Wars live action TV series, which is supposed to be launching on the Disney streaming service. Would that get you to buy the Disney streaming service?
Yeah, I really don't know if it would. But it sure as heck is going to get a lot of people to buy it.
Between the
fact that the Marvel shows will be on it, and then Star Wars will be on it. And of course, does Disney have any other properties at all? Like
Disney?
Maybe 80 years? 80 years worth of catalog that it would be on it? Yeah, no reason at all to get the Disney streaming service. So, yeah, I mean, my gosh, I can imagine there will be people who are going to drop Hulu and Netflix because they can't really afford to get that and the Disney streaming service at the same time, because money adds up over time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see that happen.
That's why I stopped collecting X-Men books, because you've got, you know, your regular X-Men book, then there's Uncanny X-Men and the Wolverine books. That was plural. And then who has a mini series this month, and then New Mutants and X-Force and all that other. You know what? Screw it. I'm done. I don't have that kind of money. I'm 12 years old.
You know? Yeah, there had to be like 15 or 16 titles a month.
At least.
That's a lot of cash.
I'm done. Thanks. Other live action movie from Disney. And I thought this was kind of interesting. Aladdin. In the live action film, is they're not going to have the tiger, whose name I have forgotten, and it doesn't matter because he's not in the movie anyway. They're replacing the tiger, who is Jasmine's best friend, with an actual girlfriend named Dahlia. Now, the reason they said they're doing this is because Jasmine was the only female character in the movie. And I looked at it and went, well, you're right. But I'm only counting 6 characters in this movie anyway, and one's a parrot and one's a monkey. I mean, I don't have a problem with replacing the tiger with a girlfriend. Hey, look, if we want to get more women into this movie, hey, go right ahead.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, it's not like there were a lot of characters to choose from. There's no Chinese people, and there's no Central American people, and there's no, well, look where it is. you know, I'm just waiting for that to come up.
So, are you indeed?
I don't know. It's going to.
I think, yeah, they're replacing the tiger with a girlfriend, and it's the girlfriend is going to serve the same plot service. I mean, she's going to warn Jasmine of the evils of Aladdin. I mean, it's the same thing, and it would actually make more sense. So, yeah,
it's going to save money on budgeting because, you know, you don't have to have a CG tiger or trained one.
Exactly.
Who then eats Jasmine and we have to start filming all over again.
Yeah, that would be unfortunate. We don't want that to happen.
Yeah. So, let's see, other things. I don't know if we didn't want this to not happen. I was kind of looking forward to some of it. Universal did not want their dark universe to collapse the way it did, like a star into a black hole. the dark universe and the star concept.
And if I can introduce the star that caused the black hole, that would be Tom Cruise. That was the star that caused the collapse. Anyway, yes.
Well, yeah, there was that. I liked the idea of rebooting ye oldie monster movies and bringing them up to date. I didn't mind that. The Mummy tanked. And then producers Alex Kurtzman and Chris Morgan, who were the pair who everyone says created this idea, have left. So, oh dear, that's... Any thoughts on that? They're still supposedly making some of the movies, but... Eh.
And they should have left because they screwed up the project.
Yeah.
How hard is it to do a remake of a monster movie? I mean, Universal themselves did it. How many Frankenstein movies were there in the original series? I think before they got to Abbott and Costello, I think there were four.
743.
They did a couple Mummy movies. They did an Invisible Man sequel, which is not good. But, they even did three creature movies, as in the creature from the Black Lagoons. So... It's not a new concept to do this, and the fact that they somehow lost the fact that these are horror movies. And when this first came out, I said that, I understand the concept that they wanted to make this more an action-adventure thing than a horror thing, because horror films typically don't make money. And then it came out.
How much?
If The Mummy had been done well, The Mummy could have done $500-600 million instead of it. That is absolutely on them, the producers. So, the showrunners, whatever you want to call them. So it's good that they're gone because they really screwed that up. They burned billions, potentially billions of dollars for Universal. So I would be kind of shocked if they were still on the job myself. And what's more important to me, they deprived fans of, a cool Mummy movie and a cool creature movie and a cool Frankenstein movie. I mean, we may still get those depending, because like you said, there are some still in the hopper. But yeah, just the fact that they thought this will be a fun vehicle for Tom Cruise. No, we don't need another Tom Cruise vehicle. Okay. He has plenty of vehicles that underperform. And has for a couple decades at this point. I mean, Jack Reacher, what a huge franchise that is, right? Has nothing to do with the value of the films. But
and unfortunately, yeah. I think it's as long as Mission Impossible does good, they'll think everything he touches is gold.
Yeah, so. And they're not getting the fact that his star power is...
diminishing.
It's a small remnant of what it used to be. No
offense.
Actually, I will go ahead and offend him. Yeah, he is a white dwarf compared to what he used to be. So there you go. And I like The Edge of Tomorrow, which is like one of the worst film titles ever, which really should have been Live, Die, Repeat, or All You Need Is Kill, which is the original title, which is a fantastic title. But no, let's not do something cool. Let's do something as generic as possible. That's a very cool movie. I really enjoyed it.
It just didn't fit the movie at all.
It's a soap opera title. It's something my mom watched at 4 o'clock on weekday afternoons in the '60s. Edge of Tomorrow. I mean, come on. I mean, literally. Search for Tomorrow. Yeah, Search for Tomorrow. The Edge of Night. I mean, they just put those two together, and it's like it does not describe that movie whatsoever. It's awful. No. So anyway.
Speaking of
very
awful.
Very cool movie. Anna de Armas coming up with a sequel, and hopefully that'll be good. But anyway, awful, yes.
Speaking of awful, NBC has ordered the pilot of a new TV series.
Yes.
Oh, this just doesn't sound like a good idea. From Chris Morgan, who created some of the Fast and Furious movies, and executive producer Josh Duhamel, yeah, the guy who acted in the Transformers movie, comes MSU, Motorcycle Specialty Unit, which it sounds like they're trying to cross chips with Law and Order SVU or something. It's all about motorcycle-based crime, and just no. Please, they haven't started filming, and I'm going to recommend they don't even start. This
Josh Duhamel involved. I have to think that this is going to be tongue in cheek. I would hope so.
Even if it is,
It does sound bad. And
I wonder, isn't that like Missouri State University or something? MSU?
That's a million. It's Michigan State, and I mean, there's a ton of MSUs.
Can they sue in advance? You're ruining the name of our college by making this TV show.
Montana State. Montana State can sue.
Montana State. Sue their butts off? Okay. Just because we're throwing puns out this episode. Apple TV.
That sounds horrible. Anyway, yes, Apple TV.
Is starting to make its first TV series. I have very few details other than they're planning on doing it and having their first series out sometime either next year or 2019. Oh, goody. Another streaming service, because we're not paying for enough of those already. I don't care if Apple's doing it. Let's go on to something happier. How about this? Doctor Who news. Because that's fun. Jodie Whittaker is playing the new Doctor Who, and they revealed what she's going to be dressed like for most of the series. And a lot of people have said she looks like Mork from Mork and Mindy. Which I don't entirely... I guess it's just the suspenders or something. I actually think she looks kind of like Peter Davison from Doctor Who. Doctor number 5. Back in the day.
Yeah.
Did you have any comments on her outfit? I didn't think it was that
bad. No. It's a Doctor Who. They all have their own distinctive look. I mean, it's going to be kind of odd. I do see it as kind of a callback to the Peter Davison thing because of the suspenders and the coat. They all typically, a lot of them will have the coat. And of course, she's blonde like Davison, so that's another reminder of it. It's fine. If you're wearing clothing, you look like Doctor Who, because there is no Doctor Who look. I don't understand why there was any uproar whatsoever.
A lot of people were upset that she's not wearing a dress. She doesn't look feminine. Well, the Doctor's been a guy for 2,000 years, and this is his first time as a woman.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't have that part down yet.
I think they just want to be upset that, oh my gosh, it's a female. So no matter what happens, they're going to be upset about it, which is stupid. Very, very stupid. I'm looking forward to it, even though she has 3 companions, which I think is still kind of odd.
A bit excessive, but hey.
Yeah.
How about the Justice League movie we mentioned coming out probably before we have another show, I think.
Indeed.
And it does have a post-credit scene, although, and I thought this was very funny, a story came out about this. Jason Momoa, who plays Arthur Curry, who eventually becomes Aquaman, not necessarily in this movie, but we'll digress, took his kids to see the Justice League movie, and he walked out with his kids when the credits started, and he said he got to the lobby and heard people started going on about the post-credit scene and went, crap, I forgot about that, and ran his kids back in. Because he forgot it was there. I'm like,
funny.
I like that. So, when you watch this in theaters, there is a post-credits scene. Stick around. Listen to Danny Elfman's music.
And there may be two.
There could be.
So just stick around, period. Or just give up and watch it on YouTube when you get home. You can do that too.
Yeah, the early reviews have come out for it. And most of them say that it's really bizarre. I read like eight of them because there's 5 billion. I just read like the first eight. And they all said clunky but fun. And I don't know if clunky is just a word they use in the movie a lot. But they all said it was clunky. Which I'm like, that's very strange. But if you enjoy superhero movies, it's supposed to be the, you know, a superhero movie that you'll enjoy. And I loved this, but it's a movie that does suffer from Marvel villain, which I hadn't realized was an actual term yet, but you know, so
yeah,
Steppenwolf is not going to be as good as we want him to be. Darn.
Well, Steppenwolf to me, I mean, Steppenwolf is such an obvious placeholder because Steppenwolf is, think of DC villains. Where does Steppenwolf fit? Third tier? I mean,
I would put him somewhere around Eggman.
Yeah, I mean, when they announced that Steppenwolf was the villain, I thought, what an awful, awful frickin' choice. Are you kidding me? That's people are going to go see it anyway. So I get,
oh yeah.
As far as that respect, it's like, well, you don't need to come out with a big bad, so to speak. But Steppenwolf, really? I think probably 10% of the people who are let me rephrase that. 5% of the people who are going to go see this movie have heard of Steppenwolf before this thing.
And even half of them are going to think it's the band.
Yeah. Now, my God, if they fought Steppenwolf, that would be beautiful. Talk about perfect music. I'm all aboard for that. But yeah, I am very hopeful that this is a good movie because I harp on Warner Brothers and DC and how bad a lot of their movies have been since Christopher Nolan stopped making his Batman films. But, you know, actually, you get down to it. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. They're 1 for 4. So
that's not a bad batting average, but it could be better.
It could be 4 for 4, which is basically Marvel. But I mean, Wonder Woman was so good that I'm hopeful a lot of those lessons Mr. Whedon picked up on and changed enough of Zack Snyder's doom and gloom story, which is seems to be what he likes.
Yeah.
So,
and they did pick up on it for Suicide Squad 2. A plot synopsis came out of that for that. And they haven't even started filming yet, but allegedly, Suicide Squad 2, the idea is take the squad. They're supposed to go get some weapons of mass destruction from wherever Point B is. And the main weapon of mass destruction they're supposed to come across is Black Adam.
That's
who is going to be played by The Rock. So this could actually be, you know, Suicide Squad 2 could be the Black Adam movie.
That could be interesting. Until you said Black Adam, I was just about to say I have zero interest in seeing Suicide Squad 2.
And that's and where you get people to go.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, because frankly, if we didn't do this show, I would not have gone to see Suicide Squad to begin One? With because it just yeah. did not look interesting. So with Black Adam, it's like, yeah, okay, maybe. That's interesting. Yeah, it does have potential since they mentioned, well, hopefully one thing they've realized, okay, we need to make these comic book films instead of stark, grim, horribly scripted films, which is what they had been until Wonder Woman came out. So, yeah, I do think it's odd that I haven't read all as many reviews as you had, but the ones I have read basically the same thing is like, well, there's a lot of problems with it, but I sure enjoyed it. It's like, that's kind of odd. No one really loves it, but they all really like it. And I was like, okay, I'm not really sure. To me, that means that it's
a solid 6.
Yeah, exactly. That it's not good, but compared to the crap fest that was Batman v Superman and Man of Steel, that, oh my gosh, there are light moments and it's entertaining and it's fun at parts. So there you go.
Right.
Hopefully it's better than that.
I would think it has to be.
Pretty sure it's not going to be any Thor Ragnarok, that's for sure.
No, but that is a good segue. I'm going to go to this first. Ragnarok.
Yes.
And this is the reason we haven't talked box office. Ragnarok is still killing it. There were talks about how they wanted to do a scene where Thor and Loki were kids. And Thor would be this short, fat, dorky kid, and Loki would be very emo. And I don't know about you. I'm really glad they did not make that scene.
Why are you glad they didn't make the scene?
No, just don't go there. It doesn't need to be gone to. Anyway, Ragnarok did explain something, though, because something happens during Ragnarok that changes Thor's appearance a bit.
Indeed, something does.
And, yeah, see, and that will continue on into the next Avengers movie, which explains why we haven't seen the trailer yet. Because if they show that in the trailer before the Thor movie comes out, then everyone's going to go, hang on a minute, what's that? And that'll be a massive spoiler for the Thor movie.
Good point. Kind of hard for them to do that.
See, everything eventually makes sense. Especially when you call Marvel itself. Because I got fed up with Kevin Feige, 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 Foji, Fuji, whatever. So I actually called Marvel Comics this week.
Did you?
And I got bounced around a bit, but eventually I got to someone.
Yes.
And I said, look, I work on this show, and we talk about your movies a lot, and we love your movies. But because we talk of them, we talk about Kevin Feige. That's our issue here. How do you pronounce his name? We would like a definitive pronunciation.
Let me guess. They said boss.
Well, that too. I was told definitively from Marvel it is Feige.
Feige.
Feige. As opposed to Feige, Feige, Foji, Foji. It is not Fuji because we have seen the Marvel movies and he does not kill anyone softly.
No, he does not. Oh, that was brilliant. I like
Thank you. Thank you. We're racking up the puns this week. Tom Cruise is a white dwarf. Jesus. All right.
So
anyway, Kevin Feige announced this week that he is not against bringing back the villains from the Incredible Hulk movie. He actually likes the idea, which I like the idea too, because one of them got put into prison and the other one, the leader, and I did not name the character, but that's what he's called.
Never showed up again.
We saw him kind of, you know, we saw an origin scene and then nothing since. He said the reason they haven't brought these characters back yet is because he doesn't have a place to put them. There just hasn't been an opening to go, we're going to put this character here. But there hasn't been that opening yet. And I get that. Do you get that? I get that.
I totally get that. There does have to be an opening for that. And that would be excellent to have those characters come back. That would be lovely. See? Especially the leader. Because he would be a very different type of villain from pretty much any Marvel villain.
Any of them. Yeah.
So I would, I would love to see that happen. That would be fantastic. I would love that. Because Leader was a very, very cool villain. For those of you who don't know, basically what the gamma rays did for Hulk, the Hulk's muscle, the gamma rays did for the Leader's brain. So there you go.
Yeah.
He's a dude with a gigantic head.
That's green.
Well, that's green. And he's like kind of smart.
I don't know that it has to be green, but you know.
Well, he was turning a little green. Thor Ragnarok, by the way.
Played by Tim Blake Nelson. See, I was trying to come up with his name. Anyway.
He's super cool. He is a very cool actor. Thor Ragnarok is 13th for the year so far worldwide. And that doesn't even count what's happening this weekend. So it should do pretty well overall.
I think so.
It's a fun movie. Which, looking at the box office movie, wow, Beauty and the Beast is still number one.
That's not surprising. Unfortunately. Anyway. Speaking of beauties and beasts and...
Beasts.
Let's go ahead and get this out of the way.
Sure.
Who was added to the sexual assault actors list this week? Because... it's a news thing. We had Kevin Spacey. We've had Prison Break's Robert Knepper. We've had Ben Affleck was put on the list. Jeremy Piven, Dustin Hoffman, Ed Westwick, Steven Seagal added this week. We had Louis C.K. Charlie Sheen was accused of raping a 13-year-old Corey Haim. A little while ago, they announced that George Takei apparently groped a model in 1981. Really? Jeffrey Tambor, friend of the show even, allegedly harassed his transgendered assistant on the show where he was playing someone who was transgendered. My question for you is, I'm wondering how many of these are real, because I have trouble believing the Tambor and Takei ones. Charlie Sheen doesn't surprise me. Piven, I don't know. Hoffman, don't know. I'm not even sure who Ed Westwick is.
I think the Tambor one is, Takei one is old. I think that had actually come out a few months ago and it's being recycled. Okay. It could be a new accusation. I do have a hard time believing one.
Especially since the model who claimed that he did it also claims that they were unconscious at the time. I'm like, well, if you were unconscious, how would you know? Right. And this happened in 1981.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they would know if they were unconscious. And obviously, if it's
I'm
true,
not saying you it didn't happen. I'm just saying, really?
Right. Right. the one thing I continue to find most interesting about this is when these do come out, that for the most part, Andrew Kreisberg, by the way, the showrunner for the Flash TV show, has been suspended after allegations. So it just keeps on going.
Yep.
Is for the most part the Hollywood.
And this is just actors. I didn't go to directors and producers and
are admitting that yes, this happened, like Louis C.K. And it's having a big effect. And again, this is aside from the real impact, which is, of course, about the victims. But just right. As far as the show business aspect, there was a movie that was supposed to debut with starring Louis C.K. That's been shelved. He had two different series that were coming up with, I believe it was Netflix. Those have been shelved.
They're gone.
So this does have a big, big impact on the entertainment landscape. And again, that's about as important. That has like 1/10 of the importance or 1/100 of the importance as the actual importance of it, which, of course, is the victims right. And that this is going on. So this is, and that was a guest on, on Ted's show with Rich Valdez, Late Night Parents, about a month ago, and we're talking about this. This is just when Harvey Weinstein came out, and I said, you know, it would be great if this starts like a snowball rolling, but I didn't think it would, just because, you know, Bill Cosby's didn't. I mean, it's hardly the first instance of a high profile person being accused of sexual harassment, but for whatever reason, maybe because Weinstein was so powerful, it actually did start it really rolling, and it's spread beyond Hollywood, which it's good, and it's going worldwide. I mean, you're seeing things in the British Parliament where people are stepping down because of accusations, allegations, which they're confessing to. But for the most part, it seems that the politicians are fighting back, and I find it hard to believe that
with the guy in Alabama.
Exactly, I find it hard to believe that like 90% of the people who are being accused in Hollywood of sexual allegations. Sexual abuse allegations are admitting to it, and yet virtually none of the politicians are. That seems kind of unlikely. Speaking of Judge Roy Moore, who admits that he doesn't recall, but yeah, maybe he dated like minors when he was in his 30s, and then said, no, I don't know the 14-year-old that I allegedly slept with at all. Never heard of her, but the other three who come forward, yeah, I know them. But they were just family friends. And no, I didn't give her liquor because liquor wasn't even available in her county at the time, even though, yes, it was. So, yeah, funny how they won't admit to it. And yet Hollywood, which is supposedly out of step with mainstream America, most of these people are admitting to it. And
the Louis C.K. thing actually surprised me a bit that, because that was the first one I noticed where the person being accused went, you know what? Yeah, I did. And it was horribly wrong. And he wrote a long,
he did
not a dissertation, but an article, I guess, saying, look, here's what I did. And it was wrong. And I think that was a, you know, even though it was announced after this article came out that, you know, he got axed from everything, I think still him writing that was a definite step in the right direction.
Definitely.
To get this taken care of.
For him, for his victims, and I think hopefully it's going to show this is how you handle it. You just come forward and you admit, man, I was wrong. And I never should have done these things, and I'm going to do what it takes to do what I can to fix things. It's not something you can ever fix. You can't repair that. But you can do your best to minimize the damage that you've caused to those people moving forward. And the biggest thing is just saying, yeah, you know, this secret that you've been carrying for 20 years that you didn't feel you were able to say because I'm so powerful and you're not, it's okay. So you can let go of that guilt. So I can't exactly give him praise for doing that, but at least he's doing the right thing at this point. And hopefully everyone else that's been accused of this that actually did it, because of course there are going to be some cases where it's not true. Hopefully they take the lead and they admit it too. Going back to the business aspect, we talked about Kevin Spacey before, and they're doing reshoots on All the Money in the World, and which is
Christopher Plummer,
which is coming out really quickly. Supposed to be out in December. That's kind of
fast. I didn't realize it was that quick.
It's supposed to be out in literally, let's see, 1 month and 4 days, December 15th. So it's going to cost about $10 million to redo this total. So that's a lot of bucks for a reshoot. And I wonder, again, this is a small point compared to the bigger picture, but I wonder if perhaps Mr. Spacey is going to be sued for that money. Because it's his fault that they're having to spend $10 million. I'm kind of thinking that if I was that studio, I think I'd file a suit against Spacey and try to recoup some of that money. And the same thing with Louis C.K. It's like we've got a film in the can that was going to come out, I believe it was this weekend, if not next.
Yeah.
And now it's not going to be released.
Nope.
Not going to be released. It's not even, we're pushing it back. They're saying it's not going to be released, period. And two shows that are shelved.
It's going to be a bit easier for Netflix because it wasn't a Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock kind of a thing. Right. It was a, hey, we'll put it out there. So it's not as, I don't think that's as an immediate need to fix kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah. At the same time, you're still losing two shows.
Yeah. And spend a lot of money on those two shows. Just like the show that Amazon had that Weinstein was putting together, and they've pulled that, and they had already spent $40 million on it. I'm thinking I'm looking for some.
I'd like some of that
redress
back,
of that money, because it is a specific person's fault that these things happened. Now, what would be really great, because Amazon can afford it, and I don't know which movie studio, but Netflix, for instance, they can afford it. Would be really great if whatever monies they get for reparations then goes into a fund to help victims, or certainly for awareness programs. And maybe they can spend some money educating our president that it's not okay to grab them by the whatever. So, this story is going to continue, unfortunately, or fortunately, because at least people are feeling somewhat better about the fact that they can finally speak about things that in some cases happened decades ago. So, I have a feeling we'll be talking about this for a while, but I would love to see that happen. It's great to apologize for those who are apologizing, but do something meaningful about it.
Right.
So we'll see if that happens. We'll see if that happens.
And hopefully it will.
I just wanted to throw out, since it's Veterans Day, a few films, and there are dozens of
that's right. I forgot. I'm sorry.
a lot of them glorify war, which not really into that. I mean, I was in the military, and I fired a rifle, but only on the firing range, just to qualify, because I was never in combat, and I'm very happy I was never in combat. So it's not like that kind of thing. I was just in the service for 4 years, did my time, and I'm happy. That's just like a prisoner. So, just like a prisoner or an NFL player, depending on which team you play for, Houston.
There you go.
Anyway, I have five movies, which I think are excellent war films, and I've got a bonus one, because most people don't think of it as a war film, but it is. I'll start with kind of the obvious one, Saving Private Ryan. These are in no particular order, but that's just a fantastic war movie, because to me it shows just how brutal and awful war is, and it's also about the camaraderie that builds and the sacrifice that people come through. The Great Escape from the 60s stars Steve McQueen. Most people listening to the show probably never heard of it. Look it up.
Excellent. I like that movie.
Well, I know you have, because you're you. Excellent movie about prisoners of war, and follows various paths as they try to escape from this German concentration camp. Really, really great adventure action film, but it's a military movie. Patton, starring George C. Scott, one of the great performances of all time, definitely, and he famously refused to accept the Oscar because he felt, and in some ways rightly so, that we're not all playing Patton, so how can you compare my performance to other people? So he didn't accept the award. But it's an awesome, awesome examination of General George Patton, who was a brilliant military commander, but a really seriously flawed person who took things a little too far. But Patton's almost always on at some point, so definitely watch Patton, which is very cool. Stalag 17 from the 50s with William Holden, black and white, so spoiler alert there, kiddos. another movie about prisoners of war, but again, it's about how people react under stress, and Holden is basically plays a total jerk that everybody dislikes, and then they think that he is a mole, that he's ratting them out to, because they're trying to escape also, and they think he's ratting them out to the Germans, and he's not. He has to figure out who the mole really is. Awesome, awesome drama. Which leaves me with, I'll do the bonus one first, because I'll save one of my favorite movies of all time for last. Seven Samurai. A lot of people think of, well, it's a samurai movie. It's even in the title, but samurai were warriors. So it's a war movie. Man, what an awesome movie The Seven Samurai is. If you ever saw The Magnificent Seven, or the pretty darn good reboot, which came out just a couple years ago, The Magnificent Seven, based very closely on The Seven Samurai, a band of ragtag warriors who try to defend this poor village from bandits. And man, it's an incredible movie. Just, if you haven't seen it, and if you like drama, and if you like action, and you like people hacking each other up with swords, you should watch The Seven Samurai. Great, great flick. To me, though, the best war movie ever is about what happens to people when they come back from the war. And I'm not talking about The Deer Hunter. Haha. I'm talking about the best years of our lives. 1946. Again, black and white. Three soldiers on an Army Air Force. I believe he was a captain. Yeah, a captain, an Army sergeant, and a Navy seaman that all come back. And it's just how they adjust to life after war. The sergeant is a banker, and he goes back into the banker's life, and he's just upset that the banker is just going to care about making money instead of taking care of people, which he had really kind of learned how important it was to care for people when you're in the service, because they're the ones who are keeping you alive. The captain takes a big step down, and now the only job he can get is like a soda jerk. In other words, serving ice cream sodas at a drugstore fountain. So he's had a huge come down, and his wife is unhappy with him. And the biggest emotional story is about the Navy seaman, played by Harold Russell, who actually was in the war and actually lost both his hands in World War II. And he was actually, it was during a training exercise. It wasn't on a ship, as is told in the story, but still, he lost his hands in the war. He has the hooks for hands, and it's just how his families can react, and especially how his girlfriend will react. And it's gut-wrenching to watch this, because you know this guy really went through this, and it's an amazing performance. They're all excellent. Frederick March and Dana Andrews and Harold Russell playing the Navy seaman. And Harold Russell, in his first movie, won Best Supporting Actor. Wow. And it's just a tremendous, tremendous film about the things, and they're talking, they don't say it, but they're talking about PTSD. And they show right. one of the characters suffering with it. Back then they called it battle fatigue. Man, what a powerful, great, great movie. So that is, if you can only watch one, that is the one I would watch. Which obviously I'm getting, getting kind of choked up. Yeah, but yeah. I'm getting kind of choked up because that's how strong the movie is. It's just amazing. The best years of our lives. Movies. And again, you can find it. No, it's you don't wow. see many movies like this. And all these movies are great. But man, the best years of our lives just tears me up even thinking about it because it's very, very real. You know, the things that our soldiers, men and women, go through. So, and it's as valid today as it was, gosh, 71 years ago. So that's the one I would catch. If you want to watch some, and it's a... In the end, it's a happy movie. So I'll just say that. Okay. It's a very happy movie at the end. It's good stuff. Anyway, and if you want to watch something that's more fun, just watch The Great Escape. That's a lot easier to take.
Or just sit around and call Tom Cruise a white dwarf some more.
Yeah, that's always fun, too.
Yeah.
Hey, wow. He's still a star. I'm not saying anything again about that. So there you are.
Right.
He's just a tiny little star.
And that's a powerful ending for the show.
Anyway, if you know a veteran, thank them for their service. And again, this is Veterans Day is important to me, but Memorial Day, people tend to conflate the two and not at all the same. No. I mean, people who are veterans, yeah, they, and some of them did give a lot, but as the saying goes, some gave all, and those are the ones on Memorial Day. So Memorial Day is the big thing. So anyway, if nothing else, go watch Valerian and watch a lot of pretty colors.
And be
happy.
There are colors. Colors. Happy colors.
I'm still surprised that it is not as pretty in your estimation as The Fifth Element. I mean, The Fifth Element looks amazing, but...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there are some things where you're going to go, that was very well done, and that was very pretty, but overall, it just didn't have the same feel.
Which, again, just shows you how great The Fifth Element is, that it still holds up after all this time. I mean, it is. I mean, that is a visionary film, for sure.
Absolutely. So, let's see, I guess, until next time... Which should be next week, but you never know.
You never know.
There's life.
Maybe the White Dwarf will have a new movie.
I think he did, and we missed it, but yeah. We'll cover that next time.
Goodbye.
Good night, everybody.
Ariel! Oompa! Ride!
Do you think they would let me live in Montana?
I was thinking of the immortal words of Socrates, who said, I drank what?
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
Darn, that's the end.